Hello there, guys, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week, I am joined by my girlfriend and isolation buddy, Megan Gritty. Now, any regular listeners will know that Megan's been on a few podcasts in the past. There was a podcast, I think, in November where she was on, and she's been around when I've done other interviews and chipped in at various degrees for other ones, including the one with Nick and Kira and both We Fix Space Junk specials. So, yeah, if you've been listening to the show quite a bit, you'll vaguely know who she is, but if not, here's an introduction. Now, obviously, with everything going on with the current COVID lockdown stuff, essentially, we want to do a podcast, just the two of us, just chatting about sort of vaguely what we've been up to, but without delving too much into the lockdown and information about it or anything like that, or even opinions on it. We don't really actually talk about the lockdown itself very much. I want to try and steer clear from that. Really, this is just me and Megan talking about video games, in all honesty. Megan is not a major gamer. She's not really been playing many video games for that long, but during the lockdown, she's found a real passion for it. She played Animal Crossing quite a lot, and then it's kind of gone from there. So that's basically what we talk about. We talk about Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Mario Party, the old in 64, Sims a little bit, those sort of things. So that's basically what the chat is about. We don't delve into gaming too much, and no sort of deep dive, so if you're not really a gamer, it's going to be a lot of those games you've probably heard of or have some sort of vague peripheral knowledge about. As I said, Pokemon and Mario are pretty mainstream games everyone's really heard of, and if you've been on the internet recently, I'm sure you've seen something about Animal Crossing. So it's just that, and it's a nice hour-long chat with us just having a laugh and not taking things too seriously. I'm sure many of the regular listeners will know that Megan and I have good, we call it banter, I think it's called that everywhere else, where we basically take the mick out of each other. Megan likes to do that to me a lot. I think she does it, in fact, within the first minute of the show. So it's good to show that we're not making each other go insane during this whole isolation stuff. But that's basically what the chat's about. Before the chat gets started, there will be a quick promo for the Room podcast. I did play that promo last week, but I want to play it again because, well, I am in the first episode of season 2. It is the first proper voice acting that I've done. I had a lot of fun doing it. It's a gentleman called Aidan Rosewell. I'm going to have him on again in the future to talk about Room podcast a bit more. But yeah, the episode is called All Roads Lead to Room. If you put that into any of your podcatcher apps, it should come up because there's quite a few podcasts which are called The Room or something to do with Room podcast or whatever. So yeah, make sure you look at that. There is also a link for it in the description, and yeah, check out the show and also check out the episode I did with Aidan a couple months back, which was episode 72. Anyway, that's about it from me, guys, so I'll let the chat get going on after the promo. I will be back at the end of the chat just to give a bit more information of what you guys can expect, as well as the latest episode of my podcast, Star Wars Comics in Canon. That's another episode out because episodes come out every Saturday, Sunday. So yeah, talk to you guys then.
Nobody told me love could hurt like this. Remember the night when we first kissed? Do you? Do you?
It can be a struggle to keep positive, given everything that's happened.
And while we were connected, we could forget the darkness.
And in the beauty that I saw when I turned, I forgot myself. I lost myself.
If I don't watch my feet, they may well lift off the ground.
This is quite exciting, really. I feel like I'm at the start of a great adventure.
This is just like some kind of movie.
That we are being looked after, and that we are loved, always.
For more information about Room and how you can support the show, find us on Twitter at RoomPodcast1. Thanks for listening. See you around.
Are you ready to die?
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton.
It's me beatboxing.
Not really a fan.
What do you mean you're not a fan?
I'm not a fan of the beatbox.
Why?
I don't know, because people who do it normally have skill.
What are you saying, that I don't have skill?
Not in the realm of beatboxing.
Yeah, no. Listen. Awesome.
I'm so glad I already started recording.
Thank God I already started recording.
Mm. I'm Michael Burton. This is Genuine Chitchat.
This is going to be fun. You're just going to be ripping on me the entire time for my whole podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously I'll start recording. Basically, I want to have a chat with you for two reasons. One,
because we haven't talked enough during the lockdown.
Yeah, that's the main one. We've actually just been sat in silence near each other.
Hello, Dr. Smile, friend.
And the other thing was I've stopped a lot of the guests and things, obviously the ones in person and things. So it's basically you're my plan B, you're my substitute. You're when, you know.
I'm his last resort.
You're not last resort.
I'm the last resort. I'm the last thought on his mind.
Last resort is normally if you and I don't really want to chat or something and I need to release an episode, I'll either do a solo one or I did one. It wasn't last resort, but it was just a lot easier for my time scale, was when I released the Star Wars comics in canon, like part one and two on this Genuine Chit Chat channel. Because it was like...
Genuine Chit Chat.
Indeed. Because that only took about an hour to sort rather than the usual 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Which you... What was that?
that was me saying, and because I'm drinking a fizzy drink, it made my voice go weird.
Exciting. I want to have, what I want to do as well, having you on here, isn't just a place for them. We're just going to talk about the fact that you're a placeholder instead of that. What I want to do is, you've been getting into video games recently because obviously in this whole COVID lockdown thing, which I imagine we're not really going to delve into much because everyone's all talking about it all the time, but kind of talking about what we've really been up to because it's been... As of recording, this is the fifth week now, isn't it?
This is week five of the official lockdown, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously I was off work a few days before the official lockdown. I was off work on the Friday before it, and then... You didn't go to school that week, did you?
No, so...
Because I was off on the Friday, and then lockdown, you stopped Monday.
The lockdown's... Well, I can't remember now. Because
it was after my birthday. Cause obviously
your birthday's the 16th. And then I was at work that week. I was at work the week after. I think the lockdown officially... I can't bloody remember. I was at work the week of your birthday. Lockdown started on the 23rd of March. And that's when I started working from home.
Right, yeah. And then obviously these holidays.
And obviously now it's the 25th of April. So.
Yes, I'm recording this. But the episode's going to be out tomorrow. So it's going to be the 26th. But yeah, it is obviously weird being in lockdown, but you've been getting into video games a lot more because prior...
Yeah, I've become obsessed with Animal Crossing. Less so now, because I've basically completed it.
Well, you got KK Slider and got the credits.
There's not really much else, like, at this point, it's just the same thing over and over again, so I've kind of... I'm not quite as obsessed with it as I was a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, Animal Crossing is life.
It's because when it got announced and stuff, I saw it and I was, oh, Megan probably quite like that. And I remember playing Animal Crossing, I think it's Wild World on the Nintendo DS, and that came out 10 plus years, I think it was about 10 years ago or so. I remember me and Reese were playing it and we both got obsessed with it basically at the same time. And we both pointed to each other, I'm playing this game, Animal Crossing. I was like, oh, I'm playing it too. So you've completely obsessed with it. And I was like, yeah. Because it's like the first...
Well, it takes over your life. Yeah, well, I've invested over, what is it, 100 and...
I think about 120 by now.
I've invested about 120 hours into the game.
Yeah. Which is quite a lot. But it's one of those games where it takes over your life for like a few weeks, maybe a month or so. And then you kind of, as you find it, you've kind of run out of stuff to do. Because the first couple of weeks of the month, you can get all the new fish and the new insects.
I mean, today, I literally couldn't do anything because Nook's Cranny is shut.
Which is the shop.
Because the shop is shut for refurbishments. And the museum is also shut for refurbishments. There's literally nothing I can do on the game today apart from collect stuff and then just put it in my storage.
And just leave it.
I can't even sell anything.
Yeah. I mean, with the new Animal Crossing with Nook Miles and stuff, and Nook Miles Plus, they weren't in the old games. So all there... And there was no crafting. So in the old games, there was no crafting and there was only bells. So there's no tasks. It was just get money, make your house bigger, make it look cooler. And that was it. And it was... I found after the month or so, I stopped playing it because I was like, well, I've run out of steam now. The next house upgrade was some ridiculous amount of money that would have taken me weeks to get. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't really want to, because in this one where you get the crafting, it you know, you can hit trees and all these other things. Whereas in the other Animal Crossing games, you just shake trees and get fruit or bells or obviously furniture falls out of them. But that was it. Where they've kind of added a lot more to it now.
Yeah. And it's also cool that you can have people come to your island. But even then you have people come to your island and you're just like, this is my island, and now there's absolutely nothing we can do. You just show them around, and then after that, you're kind of like, well, This is it. There's nothing else to do.
It's because Nintendo have like the petrified online games. Because we were having that thing the other night. We did the video chat with Tom and Laura.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, you know, we've both got Switch. We've got Switch Online recently. You know, that'd be really cool. Let's do it. And then it was like, okay, what can we play? It was
we
like,
just play Mario Kart.
Well, yeah, because we could play Mario Kart or Crash Team Racing, which obviously are both very similar games. And they're both racing games. And we wanted to play Smash Bros. Together. But for some reason, on the Wii U version, you could do it. But in the Switch version, they've taken away the ability to have two people on the same console playing online with two people on another console, as in, but choosing it. Because if it's basically either you have 1v1 and I could play against Tom or Reese or whomever, which is fine, but if me and you together want to play against two other people we choose to play against, it doesn't allow you to do it. Mm. But we can play against randoms online as a team. And it's just like, why would you take a feature away? It's called Smash Bros. Ultimate. It's meant to be everything of the old games, but
Ultimate.
Better. Yeah, that was annoying. And then it was also Mario Party, really. Mario Party annoyed me even more. Because Smash, most of it works, it's just that one thing. But Mario Party is like, you can play online with your friends. Oh, what can you do? Only it's minigames.
Just minigames.
It's like, what's the point in that?
Yeah, that's not great.
It's like, hey, the fun of Mario Party is, you know, rolling a dice, it normally fucking me over, and then using items to jam your way into getting stars and the last minute pissing people off.
It's playing Mario Party and then Mike hitting every single second of it and ruining it for me.
Well, no, we played...
That's Mario Party 8 on the Wii.
When we played Super Mario Party, I haven't ruined it or moaned or anything, because
no,
it is fun.
No, you haven't. It was just Mario Party 8, which was my favourite game.
The thing is, though, I love... Mario Party 4 was the main one I used to play, and that was on the GameCube. And that is still stands up, I'd say, is, apart from probably the newest one, Super Mario Party, I think it is still the best one. Because Mario Party 5 was basically the same as 4, but they introduced all these things like candies instead of just items, and that just annoyed me. And then I can't remember which one it was. It was either 6 or 7... I think I've played 6 like once, but I think it was 7 was one where it was only linear. There's one game they released where you're all on one, you all move together as one unit and you don't fight each other. So you know when you go around the game board and you're
That's
individual.
That's on the new one.
That's on the new one as a secondary game mode. But that, with one of the Mario Party games, it was either 9 or 7.
Oh, wait, I think it's Mario Party 9.
They got
actually, yeah, I think it was Mario Party 9. I think it's on the Switch, not the Switch, on the Wii.
The Wii or Wii U.
Well, I didn't have a Wii U, so...
I think it might be 7 then. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's 9.
Do they? Oh, wait, no, there is Mario Party 10 on the Wii U, I think. That's what I'm getting confused with.
God, there's so many bloody games.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mario Party's been going since the N64. But that's what you find with Nintendo, is when you get into the realm of Nintendo, you realise they basically just release the same game every 3 years.
So many games.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many Legend of Zelda games, Mario games. Obviously, Mario Kart is on... I mean, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is Mario Kart 8 from the Wii U, but with all the DLC added, and everyone has two weapons. So it's kind of like Mario Party 9.
DLC, for everyone that doesn't know, stands for downloadable content, which is something that I now know.
Yeah, because we were playing...
You're welcome.
Because it was on Breath of the Wild or something we were playing, and then it was like...
I can't remember. They have downloadable content on Animal Crossing as well, because there was that silk rug that you could download.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. So hey, I have a free rug. Cool, it's kind of shit.
It's free ugly rug.
Yeah. It was weird, because playing Mario Party when you before, the reason I was getting so annoyed about it was because... It was that map. What was it called? Is it the beach one or something?
Yeah, it's the one with the Goombas. And then it's the one with the Goombas. And then you go along and you can ride the dolphins and they take you closer to the end. And then when you get to the end, you go right back to the beginning again. It's just linear.
It's basically like Snakes and Ladders.
No, but then there's a green space that you can land on that's got the question mark. And I think it's like 2 or 3 spaces from the end. And if you land on it, the Goombas throw you all the way back to the beginning. I always land on the Goomba space.
Yeah, except when we played, it was me and you against two computer players. This was like a year ago or so. And
it was a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite early on in our relationship. It was us against two computer players. It was all against Dawn stuff. And then you won basically every single minigame because...
I've played it so many times.
Yeah, I won a few, and I think the computer players barely won any. So we won, you and me won the majority of the games. And then... The map was just that linear one. Because what I like about Mario Party is when it's the square, when you can choose which way to go and there's multiple routes.
Oh, yeah, but it stresses me out.
Or being able to choose more routes.
Yeah, indecisive. Just give me a route and I'll go that route.
Well, that's why you liked it so much, because it was just dead straight. And the problem was that I was just getting fucked over with every single dice roll.
The one that I don't like is the one that's on the Switch. You know, when it's got that square in the middle and then it's got the bob-omb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like that because it's really, really stressful.
I like it. That's what makes me giggle when it's stressful, when everyone's like in that area and there's a star there and everyone's like almost setting.
Yeah, but the
off.
Thing that annoys me is that the star moves as well. So you get close to the star and then it disappears and it's across the other side of the fucking board. And you're just like, oh, what's even the point?
That's every single Mario game except the one you've played.
Yeah.
So and it clearly no one liked it, which is why they took it out for the next game.
What do you mean no one liked it? Me and Mitchell love that game.
You two are the only ones.
Neat.
The game
lies and slander.
The thing was, I feel similarly to that style of Mario Party as I do to Monopoly in some ways, which is...
I see, I like Monopoly. Although Monopoly is the causer of family feuds.
Yeah, that is often the case. The thing is with me is, last time I played Monopoly, similar to last time I played Mario Party,
I'm
was...
I'm pretty sure I've got it in the cupboard, we could play it. I've got the University of Kent edition.
I used to have the Simpsons one, Monopoly Junior, chocolate one, but you can eat all the pieces, so it's kind of pointless.
Like, you can eat the pieces.
Yeah, there was a Connect Four chocolate and Monopoly chocolate, but yeah, you eat all the
once you've eaten pieces, and you can't play anymore.
Exactly. I didn't imagine this. This actually exists.
Is the board made out of chocolate? No, the pieces.
Yeah, so you finish the game, and then all that's left, I think.
Wait,
is...
what pieces are made out of chocolate? Like the cards,
the houses, and the hotels and houses, and the actual pieces you move with. It was right. Really weird. This was when I was like 8, and
I've played like chocolate. Noughts and crosses.
Is that you just kind of do it and then if you win, you eat it?
No,
all
what was it? I can't remember. It might have been... Oh, it was chocolate battleships. And then once you sunk their ship, you ate their chocolate piece.
That makes sense. That's like a cool idea. But the thing is with both Monopoly and Mario Party, which were linear, is Mario Party in itself, excluding the minigames, it was all basically chance because you just roll the dice and you have to just deal with whatever number you're given. But at least with most Mario Parties... You can generally choose your route, and there's loads of items and stuff that can change things up a lot. But in Mario Party 8, there are the items, but because that one map was linear, I would roll, and I got fucked over every single roll.
It's
that
because
was
your shit at the game, mate.
That was the game where I think for the first 6 rolls, I never rolled over
That's
a 2.
That's not my fault, is it? Unless... You're just shit at the game.
I rolled. I think it was 1-2, and I think I got 1-3 in the first 5 or 6 rounds. We only played, it was only 15 turns, and I got halfway up the board, and it was halfway through the game, when... Computer players, they land on that question mark space you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, the gumball.
Each of them. And when you do that, you immediately get a star. So, and then they pass me again. So at halfway through the game, they were already higher up on the map than me because their dice rolls were better. They by chance landed on the stars and got stars as well. And also, you were doing better than me, but you kept getting thrown back to the start by the Goombas. And you got 1 star, I think, towards the end. And by the end of it, we lost because you won every single minigame and you got a star for that at the end. You got 1 star by getting to the end. And I think right at the end, I got 1 star.
Mike, can you hear that? Sounds like a personal problem.
And then when I last played Monopoly, I mean, this was when I was, I think, 19 when I last played Monopoly. 18 or 19. And I played it with Jasmine... and Kieran and one of my exes, and I remember that it happened to me basically the same thing again. Every dice roll I was getting less than 3 every
it's
single
you
one
shit the game, mate.
And what happened was I kept rolling and I was getting more and more agitated, and what happened is everyone who went in front of me bought everything, and the only thing
to be fair, that is the issue with Monopoly, is if you do get ahead once you get around the board the first time, because you're not allowed to buy anything the first go.
Yeah,
so once you get around first, if you are lucky enough to get there, you just buy everything, and then once you get there, you're fucked over.
I just kept landing on question mark spaces, which gave me random things, and most of the time they were bad. And then I managed to land on 1 brown one, which is like the lowest value of
Old
the
Kent
whole
Road.
Thing. Yeah, and it was like people land that, they give me like fucking £1.50 in a Freddo, and it's like, oh, come on. They bought like the dark blue one, so towards the end of the game...
Yeah, Mayfair and Pall Mall.
Yeah, I landed on one of them, and they had a hotel on it, and they just bankrupted me like that, because I had no money, because I couldn't buy anything.
The thing with Monopoly that annoys me is that the aim of the game is to bankrupt everyone. That is literally the point of the game, is to have the most amount of money and make sure that everybody else doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
And the thing that annoys me about Monopoly is how people react... Mm. To them playing Monopoly.
Yeah.
Like, if I play Monopoly, I will play it like you're supposed to play it. I'll play it because you buy houses, you buy the hotels, you want to bankrupt people. That is literally the point of the game.
That's how you win.
But whenever I play it with people, they're like, oh, Megan, you're taking it too seriously. I'm like, no, I'm literally playing the game. Like, like that is the point of the game. It's like, it's not my fault that you're losing. Don't be a sore loser. I'm not being a sore winner. I am just playing Monopoly how it's supposed to be played. I'm bankrupting you because that's the point of the goddamn game. That's why I never play it.
Mm.
People get annoyed with me. I'm pretty sure the last time I played it properly was with Becky and... Well, I played it with 2 Beckys and they both got really mad at me because I was I was beating them because I was bankrupting them.
I wasn't annoyed that I got bankrupted by whoever it was that ended up beating me. My frustration was that I managed to make it round the board twice before getting bankrupt.
You should roll better then, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I should roll the dice better. Yeah. That's exactly what I should do.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or is it die? Die is singular, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Or was die multiple?
I can't remember.
I think die is singular.
I think die is singular because I think it's plural.
Hmm. It's also... with Monopoly, I got really, really annoyed about it because it was just boring to play. Like, I know that it's...
Yeah, I mean, after a while, it is a bit boring, isn't it?
It wasn't only that it was boring, but it was every single roll. I was landing on either a question mark space or some space that someone had already gone. People kept lapping me. So, basically, I owned one property in the whole board. I kept getting fined every time I landed on something. And then, after we played about however many dice rolls that was, playing for about an hour... I just got bankrupt and everyone else had loads of money.
That's the thing, is if you go out first, also the plural is dice.
Yeah, it is dice, yeah. I was pretty certain it was. But I found that way with Mario Party. If I play a game and someone is better than me and I get beaten, that's fine. And if I play Mario Party and someone beats me and it's jammy, that's fine. But if I'm playing with humans, and that's what I was saying to you, I got so annoyed about. I was like, if we were playing with two of our mates, and it was, you know, all human players, and they thrashed me due to landing question mark spaces and all that stuff, I would still be annoyed, but it would be funny because there is a degree of fun and satisfaction if another human beats you at a game of chance. When is the computer players?
Yeah, but you can change the level of difficulty.
Yeah, I know, but we had it on easy anyway.
It wasn't on easy.
It was on normal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on normal.
But the thing is that I don't like it in a game where the computer players being normal or hard. I thought that's meant to be how frequently they use items on you, how clever they are, and also how good they do in minigames. Not if you put them on hard mode, you roll shit dice and they roll amazingly. Because then that isn't hard. That's actually rigging the game so you can't win.
Nitch always, every time we play Mario Party, he always says it's bloody rigged.
It is rigged.
Every time I win, he's like, it's bloody rigged.
With other humans, I don't mind being beaten because it's fun. But there's no satisfaction being beaten by a computer player after playing a game for about an hour. You beat them at every mini game and they win just because they land on all these jammy spaces.
Well, it's just a luck of the draw, isn't it? Luck of the roll.
Yeah. I'm terrible at that too, because obviously I roll normal die in Monopoly and I get fucked over and then I roll it in.
As I said, you should get better.
But to be fair, on Super Mario Party, I never rage quit or complained. Well, I don't think I ever rage quit anyway, but like with Super Mario Party, I've never moaned about that.
What, the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was just Mario Party 8 that you got frustrated with.
Yeah. And I said I'm happy to play other ones. You're like, I don't want to play with you again.
It was after Mario Party 8 and you were like, oh, we'll play other ones. I was like, literally never want to play this game with you ever again. You've completely ruined it for me.
It's good because Mario Party 8 sucks.
It doesn't suck.
It does suck.
What are you doing?
I was just turning the speaker off. I realised I left on earlier. Saving that power. Oh, God, knocking the microphone as well.
Mike, did you know that you actually shouldn't knock the microphone because then you have to edit it out? So just... don't knock it.
Last time we did a podcast, which I think it was like October, November time.
Mike moaned at me because I knocked the microphone a couple of times.
I didn't moan. You hit it about three or four times in the space of about a minute and you kept nudging it. And I was like, I can move the mic away. And you're like, no, it's fine. And I was like, okay, but you have to stop hitting it then because every time you hit it, it makes this loud doof noise and it's really annoying and I have to edit it out.
Yeah, I'm just making your skills in editing more refined, aren't I? I'm actually helping you out in the long run.
I don't think it's quite how it works.
I think it is. I think you don't know anything about podcasting.
That's like me thank you. That's like me stealing all your money and then saying you should be grateful for this because at least you get to work from square one and think about all the lessons you've learned.
It's the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. Hitting a microphone twice during an interview or chat podcast.
An interview.
Yeah. I don't know. Conversation. That is exactly the same as stealing someone's life savings and livelihood. Exactly the same. How is it any different in any way, shape or form? Don't give me that look. But yeah, you've been playing Animal Crossing quite a bit, and from there it's been because I've always been a gamer in air quotes. You know,
I have not. Yeah, I played like Mario games. So my brother had most of the consoles when we were growing up. So I played like Crash Team Racing and Crash Bandicoot and that stuff. But it was kind of intermittent. I never actually like sat down and did all of the different levels on it and stuff.
Hmm.
So I played like Super Mario Bros. Lots of Mario games when I was growing up, but otherwise it was just The Sims.
Mm.
So
Sims
I'm
is
very
like,
much a new gamer.
Sims is like the most basic, like as a mainstream air
Sims
quotes,
is
basic
a great game.
I trust Reese's opinion on games a lot because he's a much bigger gamer than I am. And he does say he likes The Sims.
Yeah, Sims is ace.
It's just me. When I play Sims, there's no satisfaction for me because it's just like...
But there is, because you can create your own little world.
Yeah, but you can't really.
And also, as like a 12-year-old girl, you're like, I'm gonna make me as a Sim. I'm gonna make my crush as a Sim, and then we can be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Well, yeah, I'd never had any interest in doing that. The thing with me is, I played video games from a young age. I think I got a Game Boy Color when I was like 5 or 6.
I got a Game Boy Color pretty early on as well.
Yeah, and I used to play Pokemon, Super Mario Land. I think we both played the same Super Mario game, didn't we? That black and white one where the Goombas look like weird little mushroom things coming at you.
Yeah, and then the first level was this like weird little like. Daddy long legs that were like jumping towards you.
Potential.
I'm pretty sure.
It might be. But then we did talk about Wario Land as well, because I know Super Mario Land.
I remember playing Wario Land, but that was my brother's game. And I remember there being specific like sections of the game where you were on a train.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember the train.
That game is so, so good.
It was such. I remember really enjoying that game. Was that on the Game Boy Color?
That was Game Boy Black and White.
Black and White.
Yeah, because there was. One of the first games on the Game Boy Black, but the Game Boy Black and White games worked in Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
The Game Boy game Super Mario Land, that was made after Super Mario Bros, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. But Super Mario Land was really good. And then they had Super Mario Land 2, the Golden Coin or something. That was really good. And then Super Mario Land 3 was Wario World, and that was you playing as Wario.
Yeah.
And when you press, you have a jump like Mario does, but instead of Mario having no other button unless you've got a flower, he did like this weird little punch thing that it was almost like a shunt. He kind of like shoulder shunted.
Yeah.
And you move forward and back really quick.
I don't really remember that game that well, but I remember like little bits of it. I did, to be fair, I did also used to play Pokemon.
Yeah.
On the Game Boy. I had Pokemon Red and my brother had Pokemon Blue.
Yeah, I had Red. I remember because before getting it, I remember seeing what they both looked like. And there's some very minor differences.
They were exactly the same game, weren't they?
Because of it being Game Boy Black and White or Game Boy Color or whatever, the Pokemon Red was all tinted red and Pokemon Blue was all tinted blue because there was no color palette, really. Yeah. And I remember hating the way that the blue one looked. Regarding the games themselves...
I don't think there was any difference.
I don't think there were, because I know in subsequent games, so...
Pokemon Yellow, because I also had Pokemon Silver. I had Pokemon Silver, but I got it in Italy, and it was all in Italian.
You could change language. Hindsight for...
Well, in hindsight, I don't think you can. I don't think you could change, like, a Game Boy Color game in different languages.
Maybe...
I don't remember. Anyway, it was all in Italian. I couldn't understand what it was saying. Like, my level of Italian wasn't good enough to be able to understand Pokemon games.
Well, you're more of a speaker than a reader.
So I didn't ever play it in the end. I think I've still got it at my mum's house somewhere.
With the Pokemon games, when you've got Gold and Silver, what was normally the case, like Pokemon Gold...
Was it Gold and Silver? Was it Platinum?
There's Gold and Silver and Crystal... And then there's Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald. Jesus then there's Christ. Diamond, Pearl, Platinum.
What the hell? Why are there so many?
Even more than that, mate. That's like half. Then there's
also Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah. Well, it's from the start, it's basically Red, Blue, and then Pokemon Yellow. Because they released the two that are basically the same game. And then they released a third one. The reason there's differences is usually the legendary Pokemon and certain Pokemon in the wild. So in Gold and Silver, for example, if you go in a certain area... In the long grass, in one of the games you'll get like a Weedle, but in the other game you'll get like a Caterpie. Do you know what I mean? Like so, and I think there was for Gold and Silver and Ruby and Sapphire and all that jazz. There were normally about 5 or 6 Pokemon that you could get in one of the games, but you couldn't get in the other one. But when they released the third one, because they released Ruby and Sapphire together, then they normally wait about a year, then they release the third one, which is normally has everything the prior two games have in it.
Mm.
So it's like almost like a deluxe edition in air quotes because. Gold and Silver. Gold was about Ho-Oh, the rainbow bird thing. Silver was about Lugia, the giant weird silver dragon thing. But then Crystal was about Suicune and Entei and Raikou, which were the three dog things. And the thing was is that Crystal is all about regions. So there's the Kanto region, the Johto region, a Hoenn region, etc., etc.
I didn't realise there were so many Pokemon games.
Well, there's the generations. I think they're on Generation 8 or something now.
Jesus and Christ.
They release a new generation every, like, 4 years or so.
That's mental. To be honest, part of me wants to get the Pokemon game on the Switch.
Oh, Sword and Shield?
Yeah.
apparently it's amazing. According
yeah,
to Tom,
I've heard it's really good as well.
I saw Tom play it quite a bit because he showed me it and stuff. I mean, it's one of those things where the Switch is ours, and I like Pokemon, but I had Red, Yellow, Gold, and Silver, and Crystal, and Ruby, and I think I had Sapphire as well, and Emerald, and Pearl.
Jesus Christ.
As well as the spin-off games, which was Pokemon Colosseum on the GameCube I had. You had Pokemon Stadium on the N64.
I had Pokemon Stadium on the N64, and I had Pokemon Snap on the N64, which was an absolute fucking banger of a game. Well, that was so goddamn good.
Yeah, so I haven't played that. We need to play that at some point.
I don't know where it is.
I think it's in there.
Pokemon Snap? I don't think Pokemon Snap's in there. I think Pokemon Stadium's in that bag.
Oh, it might be what I'm thinking of.
Pokemon Snap can't have gone missing. It will be at my mum's house somewhere, I think.
Fingers crossed, because they're worth quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now. But it was with the Pokemon games as well. There was also, after they started to take off a lot more on things, especially in the West, they then released a lot of games which were like the spin-offy ones. So obviously Stadium, Colosseum, and Snap were the earlier ones. Colosseum a bit later than the other three. But then you've got... there was a game called Pokemon Ranger...
Mm.
on the DS, which is quite cool. The way you had to kind of solve puzzles in a weird way, but then to kind of, I don't think you caught Pokemon, you kind of befriended them, and what you had to do is they were on the touch screen, you had to draw a circle around them,
yeah,
and that would be one circle, and the stronger the Pokemon was, the more circles you had to draw around them,
right.
And they would do attacks, and when you draw the circle, if the line you've drawn gets hit by one of their attacks, it damages your Pokemon Ranger device. And if it gets damaged 3 or 4 times or something, then you faint, you lose, whatever. And what it was I remember playing it, and I got right to the very end, and you fight Entei, one of the fire dog from the third Pokemon movie, and basically you had to draw circles around him. It was something ridiculous, like 200 times. And if you had to go, and when you stopped, it was either you had to do it all in one go, or if you stopped it, the number would slowly go back up again.
God, that sounds stressful.
Yeah, and I got right to the end. I was like, I can't really be fucked with this, so I stopped. But Pokemon Ranger, there's like 3 of them now, and I played the first one. There's Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which there's 5 of them now, I think. But they released 2 at once, and then a third one, and then released another 2.
So many goddamn games.
But the Mystery Dungeon ones, they're quite cool. They were, you played as actual Pokemon, not a Pokemon trainer. And there were 2 of you. You can start as like Squirtle, Charmander, Pikachu, Bulbasaur, and a few others. And you basically, it's like a dungeon crawler sort of thing. Almost like Legend of Zelda in a weird way. You basically have to, you enter it as the Pokemon, and then it's no other Pokemon move unless you do. So if you move one step forward, everything else in the area moves as well.
Yeah.
And then if you move again, everyone else moves. And then if you come into contact with someone, you had to attack them, but it didn't do the battles like it did in the other games. It's quite different. It was actually a really fun game, but I got right to the end of that one, and then it got really, really samey.
Yeah.
And I found my biggest problem with the Pokemon games, because, I said there's Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald. There's Black and White 2, Sword and Shield, which is the newest ones, and then there's also Sun and Moon as well. So, yeah, I think it's 8th or 9th generation now of Pokemon. There's something like... They started off with 151 Pokemon, including Mew and Mewtwo.
Because that's the Pokemon song, wasn't it? The 151.
Yeah.
So when I was at uni...
And now there's like 1,000 or 2,000, something stupid.
That was ridiculous. But yeah. When I was at uni, I was part of the Netball Society, and they did this charity event every year called Man of Kent, because I went to the University
Man
of Kent. Yeah, Man of Kent. So basically, they got all of the dickheads from all of the different sports societies to basically do, like, essentially like a pageant show, but for guys. And they had to do a talent, and then there was, like, this whiff. It was really dumb. Like, it raised quite a lot of money for charity, which is fine, that's good, but, like, the whole premise of it was really, like...
Cringe
and gross, and I hated every single second of it, because I'm not someone like that. But... So I joined the netball club in my second year of uni. So I wasn't a fresher, but I was a netball fresher.
Right.
So like when we did like initiations, and even though you're not supposed to do initiations, obviously every single sports club does initiations. So they were like, oh, you have to do this, down it fresh. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that. And they were like, why not? And I was like, because I'm not a fresher anymore.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, netball fresher. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. But as part of a netball fresher initiation thing, I had to be in charge of one of the guys. Like I was allocated a guy and I had to help him prepare for Man of Kent. Just saying, my guy won. So Yay.
You're the ultimate wingman.
I'm the ultimate, yeah, person. I don't really know. But anyway, they had to create like a dance and each person had to do a talent. I don't even remember what my guy's was. I think it was a striptease because it was that kind of ridiculousness.
Grim.
But one guy did the Pokemon rap.
Oh, the whole thing.
And he sang the entire thing.
Yeah.
And I was loving it. I was like, yeah, this is great. This is funny. And then everyone else was just like, oh, take a top off. And it's like, no. But then it turned out that that guy was actually on my course. And I didn't realize until like 2 years later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were in the computer suite together and we were talking about Man of Ken. He was like, oh, I entered that 2 years ago. I sang the Pokemon rap. I was like, no fucking way. I was like, I saw that. I wanted you to win.
Yeah, because now there was the 151 and then they added another 100 for gold and silver. Then they added like another 150 because there's around 400 or so in third generation Ruby Sapphire. And it goes on and on. And I think now there's 1,480 Pokemon or something ridiculous. And there's so many now, they can't fit them all into one game. The newest game, if you I don't know if it's Sword and Shield or what it or how it works fully, because obviously I've got it or played it, but it's something like, if you've got Pokemon from the other games, you can put them in this game, but you can't find them in this game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got
so
you.
In that game, there's only like, there's like 500 or 600 Pokemon.
They should just get rid of all the shit ones, like Zubat.
Zubat's a fan favourite. You won't be able to get rid of any of the original 150.
Zubat's annoying.
In the caves.
And a Rattata.
Yeah, good old Rattatas.
It's just like, they're fucking everywhere. They're like the plague.
Yeah, Caterpies are quite...
Caterpies, yeah.
Weedles when you walk through the forest and you just get...
And fucking
assaulted.
Magikarps as well.
Yeah, but Magikarp turned to Gyarados. They're sick.
Yeah, Magikarp turns into Gyarados, but it does fuck all up until that point.
It learns... It has Splash, and then at level 15, it learns Tackle. And then at level 20, I think, it learns Flail, which is the more damage it has... The more damage Magikarp has taken, the more strong Flail is. And then I think it was like level 25 or level 30 or something, it would then turn to Gyarados.
Magikarp is useless up until the point that it turns into a Gyarados.
Well, normally what you'd have to do with the old games, because now they basically... One of the reasons I stopped playing Pokemon a bit was they became a bit samey, but also my problem is they're all really easy. Like...
No, they're not.
No, but if you know all the Pokemon types, I obviously did, as soon as you fight a Pokemon, you know exactly what type they are, you know exactly what weakness they are.
In that sense, when you're fighting the Pokemon, obviously if you're going against rock creatures, then...
Yeah, you use water or grass or ground or fighting.
You don't use electricity.
No, exactly. So you know as well, but this is what I'm saying is, in the game, you can normally actually just float your way through almost all of it, except the gym leaders are normally fairly difficult, and when your rival fights you, because he's got... They always choose the Pokemon that is... strongest against your Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's what always happens.
It's when you get stuck by Team Rocket.
Oh, well, in all the games, there's Team Rocket, there's Team Magma, Team Aqua, Team...
Team Rocket.
Blasting off again.
Jesse. James.
That was a very odd anime. I find it funny that you seem to think you don't like anime, but you like Pokemon. Yeah, Pokemon is probably one of the cringiest animes that exists.
Yeah, but the thing is that I don't like Pokemon. Like, I like Pokemon.
Yeah.
I'll watch Pokemon, but it's one of those shows that I'll watch and I just take the piss out of. Like, me and my housemates at uni went through a phase where it came onto Netflix and we were like, oh, we're going to watch it. And we watched it and we were just like, what the fuck is this? We're like, Brock is so pervy.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So Brock's pervy. Misty is annoying. Yep. Ash is a bellend.
He's unbearable.
He's so irritating. He's like, oh yeah, look at me, I got another gem. And it's like, no, you didn't. No, what, you did not do that yourself. Everybody helped you to get to this point.
He does seem to
you
lose.
Did nothing. Pikachu does whatever he wants. Yeah. You don't have any control over that Pokemon.
I did find that in the series a lot of the time, he would like, I think he was fighting...
He almost dies in the first episode because of the... What are they called? Spyros? No, Spyro. Spyros, the dragons. There's a different game altogether. They're like sparrows.
Oh.
Spiro. Yeah. He almost dies because of them. They like attack him.
Hmm.
I think it's the first episode.
It is something like, I know he gets electrocuted by Pikachu several times as well.
Yeah, because Pikachu doesn't like him.
But also, I do remember in a couple of the episodes, he'd fight a battle and he would lose badly because he's crap, but then they would... Then Team Rocket would do something really stupid annoying.
Yeah, because Team Rocket are idiots.
Well, exactly, but they would do something stupid annoying. He would chase after them and air quotes beat them and then
blow them into the sky a million miles in the air and whatever. And then whoever's around was like, oh my God, you may not be the best trainer, but you've got heart, kid. Here's the gem. And you're like, what the fuck, dude? It's like, you're meant to get the badge to show
you. Yeah, he gets the badge from all of the different gym light leaders, but he actually doesn't do the work. It's Brock and Misty that do most of the work, and then he gets the gem.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, I just want to go to the, what's the end bit called?
The Elite Four.
What? He wants to get to the Olympics, essentially. What's the Olympics called?
The Elite Four.
The Elite Four.
Was the Indigo Plateau is the place. You go to Victory Road, you get there to the Indigo Plateau, and then you fight the Elite Four, and if you beat the Elite Four, you become the champion. But you need all 8 badges from the gym leaders to get to the Elite Four.
I feel like there's a different name.
To be honest, it might be, thinking about it, because
That doesn't ring a bell. Elite Four doesn't ring a bell. I'm going to look it up.
Well, I'm going to look it up as well.
Oh, also, you can get Pokemon Snap for the N64. Used acceptable for like £16. If you want it to be brand new, it's like 82.
There you go.
If you want it to be used very good, it's like between £30 and £45.
Because there's the Kanto League, and then there's the Johto League and things like that, but the Kanto and Johto that are the actual regions within Pokemon.
Yeah. Pokemon Red.
Pokemon Series Elite. Four. Maybe it is called something. I'm just looking up.
I'm just trying to find it. Oh my God.
Yeah, it does say just the Elite Four.
I can't remember.
The Elite Four are the people that fight.
I thought there was like a big battle at the end where it's like a competition.
Well, it's normally you beat the champion of the...
I thought he went into like a competition at the end of those games. Or unless I'm getting them mixed up between the games and then the TV show itself.
Well, in the games, I'm going to look on this Bulbapedia. It says... Well, you know, because all the fandom Wikipedias are all these sort of things. One group resides in the Indigo Plateau in Kanto and are considered the best trainers in both the Kanto and the Johto region. Yeah, he wants to become the Pokemon League champion, but he wants to catch all the Pokemon, though, doesn't he?
Oh, is it just called the Pokemon League?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, it's the Pokemon League.
Oh, well, that's boring.
Yeah, it's the Pokemon League, but...
I thought it had a different name. No. My brother completed the game, the blue one.
Well, it depends on what you mean by complete. You get every single Pokemon and 100%.
Oh, I don't know. But I deleted all the data because I wanted to play it from the beginning, and my brother got absolutely fuming.
I don't blame him. that is one of the biggest issues.
I think I did it twice. I think he completed it, and then I deleted all the data and wanted to play it. And then I think recently, within the past couple of years, I did it again. I don't know if he still has. I don't even know if he knows. So, Davin, if you listen to this, I'm sorry.
Are you sorry, though?
Not really.
Yeah, I remember that was one of the biggest flaws of the Pokemon games. I don't know if it still is the case, but it was annoying where it was like, I want to play and I want to start with, you know, Squirtle or whatever. And then you get through it and you complete it and you're like, I want to start again now with Charmander, but I want to keep all, yeah, I want to still be able to access the other world. And you're like, nope, got to wipe it. So, but...
Yeah, but it's an old game, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I think even the DS ones, which were out...
Still older, though. DS games, like...
Well, yeah, it was 10 years old, but... Compared to, like, you get the Legend of Zelda games, and I know there's probably not as much data in them, which is probably why they can't have additional save files, but all the Zelda games, you pretty much always have 3 save slots at the start.
Yeah, that's true.
Most games, you have at least a couple of things. It's normally you go into the menu, and then you can choose one of 3 save files. That's yeah. Most games.
Do you know what was cool, though, with Pokemon? Was that you could connect it up to your Nintendo 64, and you could play it through the TV.
Oh, could you?
Yeah.
I remember.
I'm pretty sure I have the adapter at my mum's house somewhere still. You could connect it. It was like this little, like, you put the game into the slot and then you had this, like, cartridge and then you plugged that into the N64 and you could play it through the N64 using the remote rather than the thing. And then me and my brother also had the cable that connected the 2 Game Boy Colors together so that you could battle each other.
If you went
to the health center, you could battle each other from there.
Yeah. And you could trade Pokemon because the way to air quote complete Pokemon games is you beat the Elite Four, you beat the champion, you become the champion. And then there's normally some other stuff you can do a little bit after that. And then after that, it's basically you just catch every Pokemon. But the problem is that in the original games, unless you have someone else playing and you can use that cable thing, which I didn't have because I didn't have any friends when I was that young, it was...
I mean, I didn't have any friends that were playing Pokemon. I just played it with my brother.
Well, there you go. I didn't have any friends that were playing it or friends at all or any of my family playing it. So the problem is that the only way to get all the Pokemon to catch them is obviously you can't catch Squirtles, Bulbasaurs or Charmanders in the wild in Pokemon Red or Blue. You can only get them right at the start from Professor Oak.
Can you not catch them anywhere?
In the other games, you can, not in Red. In all the Pokemon games where you start with a Pokemon.
I always wanted to have a Pikachu and I never got a Pikachu.
But Pikachu you find in the forest. They're the only place in the whole game you can get them is the forest right after Pallet Town.
Yeah, I bloody loved Pikachu when I was younger. I had a Pikachu pillow and I also had... Oh God, I can remember it like it was like yesterday. I had this like Pikachu holder that contained the Game Boy Color and it also had slots for like 4 or 5 or 6 games.
Oh.
And then it was like you zipped it up. So you zipped essentially round Pikachu's body and head and then it opened up and he like went in half.
Mm.
And then you had all the stuff inside.
Oh, okay. Well, with Pikachu stuff, I mean, I had that little pedometer thing that I mentioned to you the other day. Randomly, it came up in a YouTube video we were watching recently. And it was basically the Tamagotchi, but Pikachu.
Oh, yeah.
And the pedometer is how you generate the food and currency in it to get that. But it was also, I found, speaking of the Game Boy that connects to the N64, I had a GameCube and you could do the same with the Game Boy Advance.
Mm.
So you connect something to the bottom of the GameCube, you put the Game Boy Advance game into it, put this special disc in, and then yeah, I'd play Pokemon games on the TV.
Yeah.
So when it was like...
We should set up the N64. I kind of want to play some of the games that we've got.
Yeah.
And when I say set up the N64, we'll set mine up because I've got the Pikachu version.
Yeah, as mine's just the standard one.
I got the special edition one because I'm cool.
Yeah, and I think I've only got... The only games I've got that are notable are Smash Bros, which is the only reason I've got the N64, and F-Zero.
I used to have so many games. I used to have... What did I have? I had GoldenEye.
Yeah, classic.
I had, Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Stadium.
Another classic.
I used to have Mario Golf. Mario Tennis?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I had Mario Golf. I definitely had Mario Tennis.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple other games. Was Banjo-Kazooie on the N64?
That's Callum's favourite game ever.
Yeah,
that
I used to have Banjo-Kazooie on the N64.
I've never played Banjo-Kazooie.
I don't really remember it, to be honest. I don't really remember it at all. I had a couple of other games. I can't remember what they are anymore.
Yeah.
There weren't really that many games for the N64, were there?
There were quite a lot, but a lot of them were... Like, I've got... With my N64, I've got 4 or 5 games that are just the kind of B-list crap games. Like, there's so many different racing games, like football games, stuff like that, or just vague sports games.
Yeah.
There's things like that. I remember
playing GoldenEye quite a lot. That was a banger. That was a well good game.
GoldenEye is a gem. GoldenEye, Smash, Mario Kart, and Mario 64, I think, as well as Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Oh, no, okay, yeah, we had Zelda Ocarina of Time as well.
They're all considered generally the best ones. But speaking of video games and stuff, as we've been talking about for the last 40 minutes, recently, obviously, where you were playing Animal Crossing, and because we're in lockdown and...
Because I'm bored. I've got nothing else to do.
I'm working 8:30 to 4:30 Monday to Friday, but obviously it's more of a chill atmosphere and we, you know, go for a run at lunchtime and stuff. But obviously where you're a teacher, you set the work and you only spend...
Well, I mean, this isn't for all teachers because obviously my school have decided not to do the virtual Zoom classes. So I know like the school that I used to work at, my training school, they're all doing virtual lessons.
Yeah.
And they're having to do the videos and stuff, whereas my school have said not to do that.
Mm.
So yeah, when I set the work, I check my emails regularly throughout the day and I respond to kids' work and feedback. And then I have to put all of their names into the grade book and make sure that I know exactly who's doing the work and who's not. But other than that, like realistically, I'm done by 11:30, aside from 11 o'clock, 11:30 by, aside from checking emails regularly throughout the day.
Yeah.
So yeah, Animal Crossing took over my life, and then I'm waiting for Witcher 3.
Yeah, because it was your birthday recently, and you asked...
Well, it was my birthday on Monday, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so you asked your family for a couple games. You asked for Breath of the Wild and Witcher.
And I think my brother's getting me Witcher 3, but it hasn't arrived yet. But I have been playing Breath of the Wild, obviously, with you.
Yeah.
But we decided that we would play it together. So during the day, I'm bored.
Yeah, because originally the plan was we got Breath of the Wild so we could play together because I've always wanted to play Breath of the Wild and I'm a massive Zelda fan. Whereas Witcher 3, I do want to experience it because I've heard how good it is, but it's one of those games where you have to invest like basically 100 to 200 hours. And I don't have that kind of time because, especially at the moment, I'm not going to necessarily play a single player game. I can't play a single player game when I'm working. And then when my work day is over, usually we watch stuff or play stuff or whatever. Whereas in the day, if you're playing Witcher, I can then still kind of half watch you playing it while I'm answering emails and stuff.
But also, the thing is that like we don't know how long the lockdown's going to last, and we don't know when school's going to go back. And we're nearly in May now, and the Easter, not Easter holidays, the summer holidays aren't that far away.
So unless
they're saying for teachers to go in during the summer holidays, which I don't think they'll do.
No, I don't think we will either.
Because there's going to be lots of people, because hopefully by that point we'll be able to socialize slightly more, and still be able to go on holiday, not necessarily abroad, but in the country. So they can't stop people from having their holiday booked. If we're back at work at that point, you're going to be at work and I'm just going to be at home doing absolutely nothing because it's the summer holidays.
Well, exactly. You've got about 2 months of doing, you know, in the mornings doing 2 or 3 hours of work. And then after that, you've not really got anything to do. So the idea was we've got like access to the NES and the SNES games on the Switch. So obviously we played a bit of like the old school Mario games. And you played a bit of Zelda,
yeah,
Link
Kirby
to the Past.
As well, didn't I?
Yeah, good old Kirby's Dream Land. So there are like things in that regard to do, but we're playing Breath of the Wild together at the moment. I've obviously finished Fallen Order recently, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and then I want to get Doom Eternal because I absolutely fucking adore the Doom game. Not the old school original one, but I mean like the remake that came out a couple of years ago. So I'm basically going to get that at some point. But once you've kind of got into Witcher more, it's also like on the weekends it'll be good because you get into gaming more helps a lot, because obviously on the weekend when I'm doing podcasting, especially when I'm editing and stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, I watch RuPaul's Drag Race when you're doing that, but it's only an hour long.
Yeah, and I normally to do the intro and outro of most podcasts, it normally takes me about half an hour to record and check through them and stuff, maybe a bit longer, maybe 40 minutes. But then it takes me 1 to 2 hours to edit the shows, and then about another hour to do artwork, write stuff up and upload it to the usual places. So Genuine Chit Chat alone is about 4 hours, and then now I've got Star Wars comics and canon that normally takes about 2 to 3 hours in total from recording, researching, and etc. So
podcast life.
Well, yeah, it's one of my hobbies and I love doing it, but obviously it's about between seven and ten hours a week of me spending time doing this, including the talking to people and stuff. And obviously when you were working properly, you would have schoolwork to do and you'd have other things to keep in mind. So when you get back from working all the time,
Before the lockdown happened, I would have my work day and then I'd come home and do more work.
Yeah.
Well, not every single day of the week, but like I'd say three or four.
Yeah.
Well, 3 days out of a work week, I would do extra work. And then on the Sunday, I would do work in preparation for the whole rest of the week.
Yeah. And I'd normally have a few hours where I'd have to either... We couldn't watch anything that we want to watch together, like Westworld or anything, because it would distract me too much. I couldn't pay full attention. Yeah. But it was fine to watch something that you wanted to watch, I didn't mind. And obviously video games are quite a good thing where I'm happy to watch you play Witcher or whatever, because entertaining to watch in the background without it being too distracting.
Unless I get mad, because I get mad during games.
Well, with Witcher, it'll be, you'll be going like the story mode essentially, as in make the difficulty the easiest, because you're not used to those kind of games as much.
No. That's why I get frustrated with Spyro now, because I like Spyro and I enjoy playing Spyro.
So you play the remake trilogy thing?
Yeah, on the Switch. But like, we're on the third one, and I think...
Year of the Dragon, I think it's called.
I think... I can't remember how much percentage of it that we've completed.
Like 30% or so, 34%.
I reckon we're about halfway through the game.
Because we haven't 100% all
because
the things.
Because we haven't 100%ed everything. But like, I'm kind of bored with it at the moment because we played the first two in quite quick succession.
We basically blitzed them in the space of about a couple of weeks. We got to like 96% on both of them or something.
I do like Spyro, I just don't like the third one as much as the second, and I think that's why I don't really want to play it as much anymore. And also it's getting harder.
It's getting harder in the sense of where it's kind of jammy hard, but also, you know, each of those games they're not huge games in themselves, but they are, you can invest quite a fair amount of time into them. The problem,
I think we've played over 30 hours of Spyro.
Exactly, and so it's about 10 to 15 hours per game, it seems. And it's like, when you've played 30 hours of Spyro, when all the games are similar-ish anyway, you just get a bit sick of basically starting the level, there being gems absolutely everywhere, you fight a few
things.
Yeah,
that's the thing that annoys me, is when it's just like, oh, you're missing 2 gems. It's like, well, fuck off, I'm not going through this entire level just to find 1 gem.
Yeah, there's like hidden in a bit of long grass in the corner of a map somewhere. Which is also part of the completion.
Or like thing. The bottom of a pond.
Well, it's also all the different types of games, because that's what I've been trying to get you into more games and things, where it's like, oh, I'm glad that you've been enjoying Breath of the Wild and things like that, where it's like, gives a lot more depth to it. Because Breath of the Wild is so massive, you could literally just say, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to do cooking for the next 2 hours. And you could just walk around foraging and grabbing loads of different ingredients and making stuff, selling it to whoever, Beedle, and making money off it. And you could just spend 2 hours doing that. Whereas with Spyro, fantastic game, but all you can really do is do that.
It's quite linear, isn't it? Again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you have
set missions and you have to complete those missions, whereas Breath of the Wild, there are so many different missions that you can have going all in one go. Like, I think at the moment we've got one main mission, and then we've got like three side missions.
And we've only been playing for like 10 hours,
yeah.
Yeah, and it was basically we've unlocked the ability to get out of the main area.
We've got two areas that have maps now. Yeah,
exactly. And it is what you're going to find when you play Witcher. And eventually I may get you to play like Skyrim, probably. I was thinking of Skyrim or Fallout, and I think you'll enjoy Skyrim more. And
I have heard of Skyrim. I know there was someone that I used to work, I think I've told you this before, there was someone that I used to work with when I worked at Domino's. And I think he had like annual leave left, so he just took 2 weeks off and played Skyrim like every single second every single day.
I
was like, did you complete it? And he was like, no. I was like, all right, okay.
No, it's not that kind of game. It's not like Mario where you play a level, you get a couple of collectibles, you're done. It's, here's an absolutely unbelievably colossal world.
I know that there's dragons in it. That's about as much as I know about Skyrim.
It's a really, really good game. And I think you'd really enjoy it because it's very Game of Thrones-y sort of thing.
The thing is, though, is that I'm getting into the point where I like games and I'm getting into games and I just want to keep buying them. So, like, obviously, we've got Breath of the Wild. We're now waiting for Witcher to arrive, if that is what my brother has got me, but I think it is. Mm. And then, like, I want to get the brain training game.
Dr. Kuishima, yeah.
I want to get Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, because we want to play Mario Odyssey together because it's got that co-op on it.
There was a couple of other games that I wanted to get as well, like, yeah, Skyrim and stuff like that. I'm just like, yeah. Like, part of me is like, yeah, we're in lockdown. Fuck it. I'm going to spend the money because, like, I'm saving money elsewhere, like with petrol, for example. I normally spend between £150 to £200 on petrol a month because I work an hour away from where we live, and we're not going out. So, like, I just want to spend money on games and do stuff.
Yeah, because when we bought the Switch,
it saves me spending money on other useless things. This is actually stuff that I will use.
Well, it utilizes time. It keeps you sane. Because I remember when we played.
I was really bored the other day because I didn't have anything to do.
Well, that's the problem. And the thing is that you can watch stuff, but it's what I found about people who don't play video games. There's nothing against people who don't play video games. But I was saying, I think, to you and the guys last night on that video chat, and it was like, what do you do? What do you do all day? If you don't have work, if you're either furloughed or in isolation or anything like that, there's TV and there's films to watch. And I'm a massive film buff and I love TV series.
There's only so much TV you can watch, though.
Well, I can't sit there for 10 hours. And, like, I'm not much of a binger. Like, I've never really been the kind of person who sits there and watches, you know, 20 episodes of a sitcom or 8 episodes of Game of Thrones in one go. Normally, after 2 or 3 hours or something, I normally need a bit of a break. So what I used to do a lot, especially when I was single, and if I had, like, a whole Saturday to myself, I would just, you know, wake up, do some chores, shower, whatever, and then I'd watch something for breakfast for an hour, and then I'd play games for a couple hours, and then I'd be like, oh, I'll take a little break from gaming, watch something for an hour or two, maybe watch a movie by myself, go back to gaming. But
that's the thing, is that when you're playing the game, you're in the game.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're watching a film, you know you're watching a film because you're watching other people do it, but when you're in a game, you're controlling that character.
Yeah.
So, like, there were points, like, with Animal Crossing where when I was starting to, like, refurbish my island and make it, like, actually, like, habitable and building inclines and bridges. Oh, it was after KK Slider came to my island, yeah. And then I could build like
all the customization
pathways
stuff.
And stuff. I like spent 6 hours just like building pathways, and I looked at the clock and I was like, Jesus Christ, where the hell has that time gone?
Yeah, I think that was either on a weekend or it was.
I think it was a weekend because you were like, Megan, it's 3 p.m. I was like, oh god, I've been playing it since like 10 o'clock this morning.
Oh yeah, because I was doing podcasty stuff, and I was basically
it was a Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so I was editing my podcast and all that sort of jazz, and just kind of watching you. Vaguely, but obviously you're just making paths, so it's not that exciting. So I was just doing the work and things. I think we had lunch, took a break and whatever. And then, yeah, it turned out you'd been playing for about 6 hours. And the island looked better, but the amount you've
not that much had happened.
Well, that's Skyrim, I'd say. Skyrim and Fallout 3 are two games, which, and I think Witcher's going to be like this, and I know Breath of the Wild's like this as well. Which,
but I mean, even Breath of the Wild, the first time that we played it for 5 hours, and we were like, where the hell is that?
Played for like 2 in the morning, didn't we? And you normally don't last that long.
Oh, no, I only last until like 11 p.m. on a standard. day.
Normally, but recently you've been staying up a lot later because you're
I just sleep. I haven't got anything to do.
With Breath of the Wild Skyrim.
It's also because, like, on a normal weekday when I'm at work, I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so you have to go to bed at 10.
Whereas now, I don't have to start work until 8:30. So I, like, wake up at 8 and crawl out of bed at, like, 8:20. So I'm getting an extra, like, 2.5 hours sleep.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, and obviously we're on the same schedule now, generally, because we both start work at the same time.
Yeah.
So whereas before it was, you need to go to bed between 10 and 11 because you're getting up between 6 and 7. Whereas,
and also driving for an hour to get to work.
Exactly. Whereas I was getting up around 7 to 8, and then it'd take me under an hour to get to work. But our schedules would be slightly misaligned by about 1 to 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it is with, I'd say with Skyrim, the open world action RPG games, they hemorrhage time. Because I said to you, I think before we played Breath of the Wild, I said one of the things I have with Fallout and with Skyrim, they tell you the main quest is go from, you're on this mountain, go to this shack over there that's, you know, 1/2 mile that way. And you go, okay, you walk there, and on the way there, you see a cave, you have some random person run up to you and ask you for help, you have some thing fly over you.
Well, I mean, it's like yesterday when I was playing and I was trying to get to that one particular, like, I was playing it for like a good couple of hours yesterday.
Yeah, it was 2 or 3 hours.
And I was trying to get to that one specific area and then I just couldn't. And then I was like on my way there and then I saw a horse and I was like, well, I'm going to climb that. I'm going to mount the horse. I'm going to go on the horse. And then I started getting attacked by the baddies.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, now I have to try and shoot arrows at these people whilst I'm on this fucking horse.
And you got
still didn't get to the place.
But also you were thinking, okay, I need to get to this place. And then you got there and you're like, well, the map's not unlocked. So I need to now go, and before I can even get there, I need to go to the big tall tower thing to get the map so I know.
Well, I mean, the area that I need to go to is again outside of the map area. So I need to find another tower
exactly.
to get the next map.
And so you need to just keep doing all these like little mini tasks.
And then that guy wants me to go into the castle and get him a recipe book. I'm like, oh my God, get it yourself.
And that woman wants you to go in there and get
she wants me to get some armor.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you're getting more into video games and stuff. It's one of those things where it's like, there's games for like everyone. Essentially, that's one of the reasons I got that sort of the Disney classic game thing as like a
placeholder. That was cool. That was really hard though.
Yeah, the Aladdin Lion King thing. I didn't realize how hard it would be.
Mate, the Lion King one made me want to.
It wasn't very expensive, fortunately. It wasn't like 40 or 50 quid or anything like that. It was like less than half of that. So it's not, it wasn't an expensive game. It was more so, here's something that's a bit of fun while we wait for your birthday. Because I gave it to you like a week before your birthday because it was like...
Yeah, because we thought that I was going to be getting Breath of the Wild and Witcher on my actual birthday and then I wouldn't have ever played it.
Exactly. So I thought, well, I'll give it to you a week early.
I managed to complete the
Aladdin
one with like mild cheating.
Yeah, because of those games you can rewind it and stuff.
The Lion King one was ridiculously difficult.
Yeah. To be honest, we've been talking now for an hour. So...
Wow. Who would have thought that two people in lockdown that are literally, like, speaking to each other every day could talk for this amount of time continuously?
Well clearly me, because I've set this up, so... You're so mean to me.
Who's Timmy?
Okay, well, yeah, that'll be it then. We'll finish off here then, and...
That was a very abrupt ending to this conversation.
Well, it was more because we kind of came to the end...
Oh, the hour time limit's here. Well, shush, Megan. It's going to cancel now.
Technically, we're at 58 minutes, but...
Whoa.
I was thinking more so that if I need to do this again or something, we can continue the conversation elsewhere or something, but give me that weird look. You know what I mean? It was more so I don't want to have to also edit. I want to release this in one go and I don't want to have to edit an hour.
You're
going to
put all of this rambling in as well. Oh no, sorry, Mike. I just hit the microphone. Don't get mad at me.
I'm going to keep it in because
I hit the microphone.
That joke doesn't really work because my logo is a microphone saying my name is also Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike Burton. This is Genuine Chit Chat.
I'm going to stop it.
Bye.
And that's the end of the episode. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. As I said, me and Megan are doing well in the isolation stuff. Well, lockdown, we're not isolated. Neither of us have had coronavirus symptoms or anything like that. We're doing well. Hope everyone is staying safe. And hopefully this little conversation brought a little bit of happiness if any of you are feeling a bit low and stuff about this. My line's always open for any contact. If you want any movie, music recommendations, video games, or just fancy a chat, you can contact me at genuinechitchat@outlook.com. Also, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Genuine Chit Chat. Send me a private message or anything on any of those things. And yeah, I'll get back to you and we can have a conversation about stuff. So coming up, I will say there's a new episode of Star Wars Comics in Canon, which
uploading this episode, it may or may not be up. If it's not up today, it will be up on Monday. There are some slight delays. Obviously, it's not my podcast that it gets uploaded to. It gets uploaded to the feed of the Comics in Motion podcast, which are dear friends of the show. And so there may be a bit of a delay on that. If there is the case, then just check on Monday or something, or pay attention to my social media. I normally post it on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I normally put it in my Instagram story as well, and then include it on the sort of Instagram story highlights on the main profile too. So you can check out all of those things, but if you type in Comics in Motion into Spotify or any of the podcast apps and things, you should find it. The episode I did that has just been uploaded is about two of the Last Jedi comics. One is DJ Most Wanted, and the other one is The Storms of Crait, so they both tie in quite nicely with The Last Jedi. And the one I'll be doing next week is going to be about Star Wars Allegiance, which is the comic set between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. So any big Star Wars fans, go check that out. Obviously, if you're not a huge Star Wars fan, but you still quite like Star Wars, my show Star Wars Comics and Canon is suited for both people who are really into Star Wars, who, like me, can't really get enough of it and want to delve deep into things, but also for people who haven't really gone that far, you know, haven't really read many of the comics or books or anything like that. It's meant to be a guide that helps give a bit of information to things potentially people have already read and consumed, and a bit of trivia for that, but also lightly telling the story enough so that if you do want to go read it, you can still get enjoyment out of it. But also, if you don't want to read it, you get enough of the information about it so that it kind of adds to your Star Wars knowledge. Plus, I do put in lots of little trivia facts and things like that about the things I'm talking about. So it's quite nice. All the episodes are only normally 15 to 20 minutes. This one, I think, was half an hour because it was a double feature. I did about two comics instead of, I normally do about either one comic or one comic miniseries. So yeah, go check that out if you fancy. Anyway, coming up, I've got a conversation due to be recorded on Monday, which is tomorrow, just realising, with Tony Farina. Tony has got a podcast called the Indie Comics Spotlight, also on the Comics in Motion podcast. I was actually on the Indie Comics Spotlight episode that came out this week. I chat with Tony about The Second Coming. The Second Coming is a comic about Jesus coming back to Earth in sort of a modern day interpretation, but Earth has got a superhero very similar to Superman. It's a really, really good comic series. I was incredibly surprised how clever it was and how brilliant it was, and yeah, we just talk about that. So if you do listen to my Star Wars Comics in Canon, or if you do listen to Comics in Motion podcast anyway, you'll no doubt know about Indie Comics Spotlight and things. But if you don't have any interest in Star Wars, and you don't have any interest in comics really, but you have some degree of interest in topics about religious conversations and things, this conversation that me and Tony have, we do delve into religion quite a lot, because obviously a comic about Jesus coming back, how can you not? So that's a really good thing to check out. I've also included a link to that in the description. As I said in the intro, I've also been on the Room podcast, where I was in season two, episode one, episode called All Roads Lead to Room. I also appeared on the Ask Win podcast recently, and I also appeared on the Friends in Your Ears podcast a few weeks ago. So they're all the things that I've been kind of delving into and things. I think further down the line there's going to be more podcast collaborations and stuff, but obviously the current situation, numbers are weird and whatever, so yeah, we'll see. Also coming up as well, as I've said a couple times in these outros, I'm going to be doing a lot over the coming weeks of returning guests. I've already got things planned with the guys from Comics in Motion to talk about the sort of the Comics in Motion Creators Network, as it were. So talking about, you know, my show on there, Star Wars Comics and Canon, Tony's show, Indie Comics Spotlight, as well as Max Burns' show, Mandatory Marvel and DC, as well as their flagship podcast, Comics in Motion. Plus their other podcast, VHS Strikes Back, plus their other podcast, Love Island Cast, plus Chris's other podcast, Wrestling Gold. So as you can see, there's a lot of things to talk about. And also with Wrestling Gold, I'm going to have Chris and also a gentleman called Scott Weatherly from the 20th Century Geek podcast. He's going to be coming on the show with Chris to talk about wrestling, because I've never really had the biggest interest in wrestling, and I like talking to people about things they're passionate about to inform me more. So that's the kind of things that you can expect coming up. All the guys from the Comics in Motion are going to be on various shows. I think I'm going to have Dave and Max Byrne to come on to talk about sort of comics, specifically like Marvel and DC comics, probably talk about the DC movies a bit, because I know that Max likes them a lot more than me and Dave do, and that's going to be a fun conversation talking about Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel and those sort of things. So most of my chats over the coming weeks, or at least all of them to my knowledge at least, are going to be fun chats with people I'm really comfortable with, where the conversation is going to be flowing freely and a lot of jokes are going to be had. So I'm trying to keep it all uplifting and stuff, because to be really blunt, life is really shit for a lot of people right now, whether or not you are directly affected by the coronavirus coronavirus, everyone is still in lockdown, and or it should be, and a lot of people are finding it difficult. I hope that the content that I've been releasing and things has been helping you guys to some degree. And as I did say at the start of this little outro, reach out, speak to me if you need any just contact of any kind, if you're just really bored, you want something to do, and you want some movie recommendations. I'm a massive movie buff, or TV series, music, anything. I like music from almost every genre, from literally like death metal and melodic death metal and deathcore, all the way to there's some classical music I like. I like pop music, like Sia, Melanie Martinez, a bit of Lady Gaga. I like rap music, Tech N9ne, Hopsin, Chris Gallico, Scroobius Pip. I don't love every genre, but I generally like one or two bands from relatively every genre. So if anyone is really clamoring for some new music and you just say, hey, I like these three bands, do you know anything that sounds like them or is to do with them? Just send me an email, send me a message, just start the conversation going. I'll always be open to recommending things to people. I love recommending music and movies and whatnot to people, so please reach out. And if you're feeling lonely, you know, please reach out as well. There's a lot of people in the podcasting community that are isolated and things like that, but the community itself is so strong that it's really nice to have people keeping the conversation going and trying to help others. So I'm in that boat too. If you don't want to make contact, please do not hesitate. But otherwise, that's about it from me. So I'll talk to you guys next week. It will be the first part of my chat with Tony Farina. And yeah, stay safe, guys. I love you all. Thanks for listening this far, and talk to you next week.